for giving me the opportunity to talk today. I just went forward for about the positive impact of integrated behavioral health and primary care on the physical and mental health of the SPMI population. And SPMI stands for patients that are severely and persistently mentally ill. And this work is really a collaboration of four organizations. The first is Butler Behavioral Health Services, which is a community health center in Butler County, Ohio. Their local FQHC, Primary Health Solutions, our funding source, Interact for Health, and then the evaluation team at Wright State University, which I am a part of. So I have no financial relationships to disclose at this time. So the co-occurrence of chronic medical disorders and complex health needs are an expectation, not an exception, for the SPMI population. We know that the SPMI population has a lower life expectancy or a shorter life expectancy than the general population. We also know they have a much higher prevalence of chronic conditions. So a recent report from the CDC said that the average U.S. life expectancy for the general population is 78.8 years as of 2012. And we know through multiple papers that have been published that the SPMI population, their life expectancy is on average about 25 years shorter than the general population. And this is in large part because there is a higher percentage or a higher prevalence of chronic medical conditions in this population. So you will see in the literature a range from anywhere from 50% to 80% of SPMI patients that have a chronic medical condition. And, you know, these range anywhere from cardiovascular disease, respiratory illnesses, diabetes, and then also infectious diseases such as HIV. So there's a higher HIV rate in this population as well compared to the general population. And it is thought that these patients are sicker for many reasons. You know, one of the big ones is medication. A lot of the medications that they're on, in particular antipsychotics, make them gain weight and make them more prone to these diseases. Social isolation, homelessness, the fact that a lot of them do not have primary care providers. And that was one of the things that Butler Behavioral Health Services noticed in their population. So they're a community mental health center, and they were noticing that their patients were really sick. And a lot of them, they did a survey within their patient population and found that a lot of them, a very high percentage, did not have a primary care provider. And so they wanted to go ahead and partner with their local FQHC, Primary Health Solutions, to provide integrated services. And they have had this fantastic partnership over the last 8 years, and the level of integration has really evolved during this time. So it began with Primary Health Solutions sending a nurse over to Butler Behavioral, you know, one day a week to provide medical care. And over the years, it has evolved into bidirectional care. And most recently, in 2012, with Medicaid reform in the state of Ohio, Butler County was selected as one of five regions for the first phase of the Medicaid Health Home. And so the criterion for the Medicaid Health Home is that, you know, the patient has to have Medicaid, but also that the patient has to have a severe and persistent mental illness, and also one of these chronic conditions. And so Butler County, which is, I guess I can show you down here, is down in this little green box. So they were, the county was selected, and then Butler Behavioral Health Services is actually the only Medicaid health home right now in Ohio in Butler County. So they're one of five organizations that was selected to provide this wonderful level of integrated and coordinated care. So just a little bit more about health home. So health home is kind of like an umbrella, think of it that way, that encompasses a variety of services being offered to the patient. So included in the health home we have, you know, of course, their behavioral health care, but there's also wellness activities, education, preventative care. They're getting their primary care services met, and lots of skill building. And there's, like I said, the key component is this coordinated services. So they don't just have, you know, a case manager. They have this team of doctors that are working together to provide them the best care possible. And so the data I'm going to be presenting to you for the rest of the presentation is really on these health home patients. So I'll be reporting data on 292 health home patients that are jointly served by Butler Behavioral and Primary Health Solutions as part of their health home, and these are adult patients only. So the first thing I want to show you is the prevalence of chronic conditions in this population compared to the general population. And so I've already told you countless data shows that the SPMI population is much sicker, and that's exactly what we saw with Butler Health Home patients. So in this lighter color, you've got the general population data from the CDC, and then in the darker red, you've got the prevalence rate from these health home patients. And you can see that for the four chronic conditions that we looked at, they are much sicker. They have a much higher prevalence rate compared to the general population. So for diabetes, we've got about a 19% rate compared to 11% for the general population. For hyperlipidemia, 41% compared to 13%. So a much more elevated rate. For hypertension, about 46% compared to 31% for the general population. And then of course, it would make sense in this population that the rate of depression would be much higher. And I also put in here, in this kind of medium pinkish color, we do evaluation not just for Butler Behavioral, but for also for several other organizations that are providing integrated care within our region in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And so the data in the middle represents several other organizations that we've been evaluating. And so the prevalence of chronic conditions for patients in the health home is about the same as these other organizations, but a little bit higher in most cases. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the type of patients that are being served with the health home. So first I want to give you a gender profile. So a majority of the patients in the health home at this time are female. So we've got 61% of the patients are female compared to about 39% male. And then when you look at the prevalence of chronic conditions between men and women in the health home, you can see that for diabetes, hypertension, and depression, the rates are relatively similar, that there are some differences. But with regard to hyperlipidemia, women have a much higher prevalence of hyperlipidemia compared to men. Okay, when you look at age breakdown, you see that a majority of Butler Behavioral, or a majority of the patients in the health home, are actually between the ages of 40 and 60. So this is an older population here. And you'll see that when we did some correlations, we wanted to look at the relationship between age of the patient and prevalence of the chronic conditions. We see that as the patients are getting older, they have a higher rate of diagnosis of these conditions. So this is just one example here for hyperlipidemia to show that as the patients are getting older, the rate of hyperlipidemia is growing. And it's kind of alarming when you see that, you know, the 60 and over group in 85% prevalence rate. And this is a significant relationship. And you also see this relationship between age and diabetes and also hypertension, but we just wanted to give you a representative graph. So now when we look at improvement, we wanted to look at, you know, are these patients getting better? So we've told you how sick they are. These patients are a lot sicker than the general population. Is health home helping them? And overall, that is the case. So this is a table illustrating the measures that we did. So we looked at HbA1c levels. For diabetes and diabetic patients, we looked at LDL-C for patients with hyperlipidemia. We looked at blood pressure levels for patients with hypertension. And then we also looked at BMI and PHQ-9, which is a depression screener. And so you'll see that at baseline and follow-up, so our baseline measure is really their first appointment where this data was gathered once they joined the health home. And then we had follow-up data, you know, really their closest appointment to this presentation. So those were our two data points. And you'll see that overall there is positive change for all of the measures. Some of the change isn't as great as others, but this includes all patients, whether or not they improved. And we actually have a significant change for LDL in the patients. So they're going from an unhealthy LDL level of 115 to an LDL level of 91. So that was a statistically significant change from baseline to follow-up. And then we also have a marginally significant change for systolic blood pressure. I think what's a little bit more interesting is when you start to look at patients showing improvement, you'll see that for most of these measures, a majority of patients were showing improvement. So for LDL, for blood pressure, for A1C, and I believe BMI as well, that a majority of patients were showing improvement, which is wonderful. So I'm going to show you a couple representative figures here. So this is for LDL-C, and so we've got 68% of the patients showing some improvement in LDL. And these are patients with a hyperlipidemia diagnosis, so I should say that. So for these patients showing improvement, for the 68% that are showing improvement, they went from an LDL of 131 to 88, so that's a significant difference. And then you see a similar result for blood pressure. So you have 62% of patients showing improvement in blood pressure from baseline to follow-up, and you can see a change in systolic pressure from 143 to 128, and then a change in diastolic from 89 to 81. So the next thing we wanted to do was look at participation in the health home. So right now, Butler Behavioral has been a health home or been providing these services for 2 years with their partner, Primary Health Solutions. So are patients that have been in the health home for a longer period of time, are they doing better than patients who just enrolled in the health home or were only involved for a year? And this is exactly what we found, that patients that were in the health home for 2 years that joined in 2012 and are still part of the health home have better outcomes than patients who were just in the health home for a year. And so this is a representative figure for blood pressure, and so we've got systolic up here on these two lines and diastolic down here. And you can see that the patients who were in the program for 1 year did not show a lot of change in their systolic blood pressure or diastolic blood pressure for that matter, but you see decreases. You see positive change for people that have been in the program for 2 years. So they're really driving that overall change I was showing you earlier. I keep trying to use this. I'm so used to using this that I keep trying to advance the slides with it. Okay. So next we wanted to look at people who showed improvement. So we selected the patients that were in the program for 2 years that showed improvement, and then we selected the patients who showed improvement that were in the program for a year. And we wanted to see, okay, are more people who were in the program longer, are they showing improvement, and are they showing greater improvement than those that were only in the program for a year? And that is indeed the case. So when you look at blood pressure, again, you can see that patients who were in the program for 2 years are showing more drastic improvement than patients that were in the program for a year. So, and there's a larger percentage. So about 70% of patients who were in the program for 2 years showed improvement in blood pressure, where it was about 49% for patients who were in the program for a year. So a larger number of patients are improving if they've been in the program for 2 years, and the change is greater. So this is, you know, a drop of about 15 systolic points. So that's really impressive. I also wanted to show you some data for HbA1c. So patients who were in the program for 2 years are showing an improvement of about 2 points with HbA1c compared to patients who were just in the program for a year. They're showing about a 1 point improvement. And those are both statistically significant differences between the two groups. Okay. So to conclude, health home patients from Butler Behavioral and Primary Health Solutions presented with poor physical health compared to the general population. So this kind of confirmed what was found in the literature. So they had a higher rate of diabetes. They have a higher rate of diabetes, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, and depression compared to the general population. And one thing that I actually forgot to mention, we didn't go look for diagnostic codes in the EMRs for obesity, but we looked at BMI, and about 75% of Butler, of these health home patients, are overweight or obese. So the prevalence of obesity in this population is also alarming compared to the general population. Okay. And then the coordinated and integrated services provided by Butler Behavioral and Primary Health Solutions are having a huge impact on their patients. So a majority of patients are showing improvement in their physical health. So in particular for HbA1c, LDL and blood pressure, we have a majority of patients improving from baseline to follow-up. And then what we just talked about, that patients that were enrolled in the health home for longer are having more positive outcomes compared to those who have been in the program for a shorter period of time. Any questions?
Thank you.
I have just a quick question.
Sure.
So for your thing of 1 year, mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm curious if you looked at
right.
What programs are you writing for those folks that it's doing, you know, things for that, you know, health outcomes, or what can we do better to improve the health outcomes?
Right. No, and that's a great question. And we have, you know, our agreement with them is to collect fairly limited data. So, you know, we don't necessarily know all of those reasons why. I mean, of course you want to know that. I think a lot of the people who are in the program for a year, either they, you know, they just joined. So my guess, like I said, I don't have the data to necessarily back this up, but a lot of the people who are in for a year either just joined and, you know, if they have a baseline and a follow-up, they're very close together, or you have patients who go to one, maybe two appointments and then, you know, kind of drop out. And so I think, you know, in a year, a patient can utilize services a lot, or they can utilize services once or twice. And so that's my impression, but I don't have the data to back that up. We don't have data on the medication, so that we haven't been able to look at all. And we've just kind of, we finally have enough data where I think we can start breaking out our patients into multiple groups and look at relationships and things like that. So we're planning on looking at relationships between different chronic conditions. So is improvement of one affecting another and things like that. We haven't done that yet. But exactly. So, you know, kind of which came first. So we have that information. We just haven't looked at that yet. Exactly. And so, you know, I think that's something we're planning on going back to do. So we kind of have a month. So the grant we work under, we have certain, you know, we have a grant year and then we have a month to get this data. Like we go into the EMR and literally pull this data out. And so it's just, you know, we have time constraints in terms of like recording information from every appointment. I think that's something that we want to do because you can easily look in the EMR and see if the patients are engaging more. You can count number of appointments, number of visits, things like that. So I think that's something we're planning on doing. They're talking about expanding our funding so that we can look at things because they're really happy about that. So yeah, because we do see that. And, you know, it's really unfortunate. Like I said, we have these strict reporting requirements. So there were people who had an appointment a week after, you know, the grant ended. And it's like, you know, we'd have that second data point or we'd have this really great improvement. So we're definitely missing things.
But you said that the number of people whose blood pressure went down was also improved in both in the treatment group, right? And
yeah.
Go here long, because you can have averages that look good. And
right.
Individuals you may lower someone from 180 to 120, and that'll improve your average quite a bit.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, if you don't do that, you know, whereas other people you can just move a little bit.
Right.
So I think the absolute numbers are really important. We looked at this ourselves in our clinic for a period of time. We identified the really high risk people. Now I think you have really, really high risk people. So, you know, I think that's quite impressive as you make the progress. Other questions? Or,
yeah, sure. The ones that we actually like recorded and took note on were diabetes, hyperlipidemia, depression, and then hypertension. So we focused on those three, chronic medical and then depression. But I mean, the rates of other, you know, mental disorders were very high, of course. We saw, it wasn't necessarily in this population, but in another grantee, we saw a rate of about 10% of HIV, and hep C was about 15-20%. So we're seeing like some, you know, we're kind of filtering through all the different diagnostic codes, so.
I mean, I noticed that the people's depression score didn't really significantly change, but their medical stuff improved.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, that is,
I mean, would you say that's true in general? About, I mean, you're getting better medical treatment, but not better psych treatment?
I don't know if it's necessarily better or if it's that a lot of these patients have been receiving behavioral health for a long period of time, and they've been struggling with this, and they're just now getting medical care for the first time, or first time in a while, and so they're able to, we have other organizations that provide care in the other direction, so you've got patients in an FQHC that are receiving behavioral health care for the first time, and you saw a really drastic improvement in PHQ-9 scores. So,
okay, all right.
So, yeah.
Listen, now we have to call this to an end because we're over time, but we really appreciate this.